Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly all guests, as we're now all here together and your presence is a blessing. Together we offer our praise, our thanksgiving, the gift of ourselves. We offer this Mass on this solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord. For all of our guests, please know that you're welcome to join us at all of our parish events and activities, including our Theology Uncorked, our monthly speaker series, which resumes this month, will be this coming Thursday, with our newly ordained Deacon Joseph Fritsch, will be our guest speaker about his vocation as a permanent deacon and the role of the deacons in the church today. We begin at 6:30, we conclude at 8, guests are welcome, and child care is offered, so hope to see you all there. And also, we had, after the gospel reading, the traditional custom of proclaiming on the Feast of the Epiphany, the Solemnity of the Epiphany, the dates for Easter and the other movable dates of the Feast of the Church. And yes, you did hear correctly. Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day. And, before you ask, the answer is no. Do not expect the dispensation from eating chocolate on the day of fast and abstinence to begin the Lenten season. You know, we're going to cowboy up, cowgirl up, we're going to offer it up. You know, being Catholic is not a church for wimps. We can do this. We can do this together. You know, and also, you heard correctly as well, Easter is on April Fool's Day, so you can only wait till all the internet memes are what they're going to make about that. But we begin this new year together, and all the different feasts, the celebration of our faith to follow. A little bit of an update, on a personal note. I mentioned last Sunday that my nephew Ryan and his wife Sheridan are expecting any moment the birth of their first child, Chloe Lucille. And I have to let you know that the baby Chloe watch is continuing. No baby as of right before Mass. So I do not have my phone with me in case I get a text message or something. I won't be distracted. The due date is tomorrow, so if she's not here, the labor will be induced, and so your prayers on all involved are greatly appreciated as we anxiously await with great joy and anticipation Chloe's birth into our lives. And as she begins her journey of life, as our own journey has also begun. My personal journey began now 56 years ago, the day of my birth. My journey of faith followed about 6 months later, the day of my baptism, which the anniversary is this April, 56 years. I can ask all of us, keep that date. We know the date of our baptism and celebrate it every year because it is the anniversary of our second birth, on the day in which we are born into new life in Jesus Christ through water and the Holy Spirit, united with Him and united with one another as the church. And that journey of faith begins. And for me, that journey of faith continued 35 years ago when I came into full communion with the Catholic Church. My first confession, my first communion, my confirmation, as I tell the children preparing for their first confession, they're usually around the second or third grade. And I remind them, I made my first confession, I was almost 21 years old. So I had a few more things to confess, and then I did not obey mommy and daddy, and I was not nice to my brothers and sisters, and so on. But I remember that anniversary as well, because that journey continued. And that journey continued on the day I was ordained to the priesthood of Jesus Christ, 25 years this coming May, and that journey continues on. And you too, we all have those dates, the journey of faith, the events, the anniversaries of births, baptisms, adversities of both tragic and joyful events, because our journey of faith continues. Today as a church, we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, this event in Matthew's Gospel, the arrival of the three kings, also known as the three wise men, also the magi. The word magi comes from a word meaning those who had studied the stars in the night sky. We're told about their journey and ours as well. The word epiphany itself means to reveal or a manifestation, usually a manifestation of God's presence. And there are numerous statements that Matthew makes about this journey. There is the star, the light of faith that guides the wise men. There are the gifts they bring, the gifts of gold, which traditionally is a gift that is given to a king in the ancient world. There is the gift of frankincense, which is an incense that is burned, that is offered as a prayer in the temple, particularly the temple in Jerusalem, the action of the high priest that is offered to the worship of God. That image of Jesus as God and as high priest. And also the gift of myrrh. Myrrh is a perfume that was used to anoint a body in preparation for burial, foreshadowing the death of Jesus on the cross. So these gifts all affirm the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. And Jesus as king, Jesus as God and as high priest, and Jesus as human. And there's also then the statement of the Magi, the three wise men themselves. They are Gentiles, meaning they are not Jewish. They are foreigners, or in a more pejorative term, they're pagans. Yet they come to offer their gifts, to encounter the incarnation, the Word of God made flesh, to live among us and in us. And that is a gift, the incarnation, that is to be offered to all the peoples of the earth. We hear this echoed from the prophet Isaiah today, and from the Psalm, and also from St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. All the nations to be gathered to the Lord. We hear this in the opening prayer for the Mass. But this is revealed, you've revealed your only begotten Son to the nations. Now, we don't know the names of the wise men. There's a later tradition that gives them the names of Caspar, Balthasar, and Melchior. And also, we do not know their exact place of origin. We're simply told that they are from the east. Now, traditionally, there is a depiction of them in particularly Catholic religious art. Of the three kings, one is depicted as being European, one of them as an African, and the other one as an Asian. Basically, that they represent the entire known world. Now, we want to say that these depictions were probably all painted prior to the year 1492, before we knew that there was places called the Americas, but those artists did the best they could with what they knew. But that image of all the nations, all the peoples of earth, on the earth, being drawn to the incarnation. So we don't know exactly who is making this journey. We don't know exactly where they come from, but we do know why they have made this journey. Because the first words spoken that anybody says, I did not know this the other day, that the first words anybody speaks in Matthew's gospel are the words of the Magi. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and we have come to do him homage. That's why they've made this journey. Now a little bit about the meaning of these words, King of the Jews. Now imagine if most of us, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, if we think any at all about royalty, we might think about King Arthur and Excalibur and the Round Table, or we might think about the last episode we watched of The Crown, or of Victoria with the British royal family, and guilty on all counts, by the way. Or we think usually about that royal family, a constitutional monarchy, a symbol of the nation. Or we might think in earlier times of kings having real political power. But that's not what King of the Jews means. For the Jewish people, God was king. And any human ruler, such as King David or King Solomon, they represented God. The king was to manifest, or think of it this way, to be a manifestation of God's justice and wisdom, protection and mercy. And that's why the Magi have made this journey. And it continues. And for how long? We don't know precisely. But a couple of things that might come as a bit of a surprise. I don't want to scandalize anybody, but most of our nativity scenes, which hopefully have been left up to today, they depict the wise men presenting their gifts to baby Jesus in the manger. However, in Matthew's gospel, the Greek word that is used to describe Jesus is not the word for infant. It is rather the word for child, meaning a child ages 3 to 7. And also we're told that they enter a house, not a stable, in order just to see Jesus and Mary. So I think what Matthew is revealing to us is a profound yet easily overlooked statement. And that's the journey of the Magi, to encounter the one who is the manifestation of God's justice and mercy and wisdom, to encounter Jesus, the incarnate Word of God. It was not a weekend drive out to the country. Nor was it a one-and-done event either. In other words, the wise men had been on this journey for years. And how long had they been on this road? Seeking, wondering, with imperfect knowledge, by the way. Remember, they are Gentiles. But they're drawn to make this journey, even though they may not know all exactly why. How long have they been wondering, seeking, taking wrong turns, not finding the one they were looking for? How many times have they become discouraged when their commitment was tested, when they considered giving up and going home, packing it in? You know, today, you know, courtesy of our technology, 21st century, when we make that click with the mouse on the computer screen, or now with our finger on the touch screen, we expect immediate results when we do that. And how often when we do that, and instead of getting immediate results, we get that annoying buffering thing twirling around in the middle of our screen, or that blue line slowly going to linking up, trying to link up to whatever we want to see. We expect immediate results. And when we don't get them, how soon do we start thinking bad thoughts? Guilty on that count as well. How often do we become discouraged? When we become frustrated in our journey of life, in our journey of faith, when we do not get immediate results from our work, from our prayer. It can be that we get to a place in life, a point in life, and we're at a place we didn't expect, that we didn't want to be here. But here we are. And we can face great disappointments. In the journey of faith, how often have those disappointments, the tragic event, moments of life, the fear, the uncertainty, tempt us to lose perseverance, to weaken our commitment, or to give up and pack it in and go home? But the journey of faith continues. Because God has created us to desire nothing less than that encounter with the manifestation of divine truth and divine mercy, who is Jesus. Even if we can't put it into words, even if we have incomplete knowledge of it, even if it lies dormant in us, it's still there. It took the Magi years to find the one that they were seeking, searching with that imperfect knowledge. But when they did arrive, they knew who he was. And they also knew who he was not. It was not Herod. Herod is the manifestation not of divine mercy and of truth. He's the manifestation of political cunning, ruthless pursuit of power and violence. Herod inflicts suffering on others to stay in power. We know from the historical record outside the Gospels, he kills at least two of his own children and his wife, because he is threatened by them. And he kills the children in Bethlehem. Herod represents the selling of one's soul in pursuit of power, status, pleasure, and wealth. And contrast that to Jesus. Jesus will suffer for others. And through his death and resurrection, God's mercy and forgiveness is revealed to the world. And that's why on the sign above Jesus at his crucifixion, that sign on the cross reads, King of the Jews. The manifestation of God's divine mercy and truth. The incarnation did not change Herod, but it transforms the Magi. Long they looked for him, and they recognized and rejoiced when they encountered Jesus, the face of the Father's divine mercy and love. And they offered not only those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, but even more important, they offered to the incarnate Word made flesh, themselves, their very lives. And their journey continued, returning home by a different way. And so does ours. Our journey of faith to encounter the incarnation, to allow it to transform us along the way. The journey of faith continues no matter how long we've been on it. No matter how many wrong turns we have taken, no matter how many disappointments there have been, no matter how many temptations there have been to give up, we continue on this journey together as the church. The people of all nations to present our gifts of ourselves, the gifts of our thanksgiving to Jesus, our King, our Lord, and our Savior.